This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
President Xi lands in Saudi Arabia and $30 billion of trade is on the table. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being with us. Relations between China and the Gulf nation haven't ever been frosty, but the scope, warmth and the high-profile figures involved in the upcoming meetings seem to suggest a significant ramping up of those ties. China's president has been an infrequent traveller since the COVID pandemic, so the fact Mr. Xi will be chairing many of the meetings seems important. So too, the timing. Relations between Saudi Arabia and the US have soured over American requests for oil production cuts. China's imports and exports have been hammered, in large part by its zero COVID policies. Trade data out today, in fact, disappointed once again, with exports falling 9% last month compared to a year ago. No wonder then the eagerness on both sides to sign off on a prearranged deal worth $30 billion, as the BBC's Middle East business correspondent Samir Hashmi explained.
It's a very significant trip from China's point of view, as well as for the Middle East and Saudi Arabia specifically, because President Xi Jinping is traveling with a huge business contingent. Multiple deals are expected to be signed during the trip in the areas of energy, technology, security, and even weapons possibly. This trip is going to underline the growing significance of the region, specifically Saudi Arabia for China and vice versa. Traditionally, Saudi Arabia has had close ties with countries in the West, especially the United States. But now, as the geopolitics in the region changes, Saudi Arabia is trying to diversify its portfolio when it comes to trading partners, and I think China is right up there.
And not just trade, is it? But it sounds like long-term investment too, with Chinese projects or mutual projects becoming part of Saudi Arabia's Vision Fund, its sort of investment fund, and vice versa with China's Belt and Road Initiative, Saudi projects becoming part of that too.
Yeah, now Saudi Arabia, of course, has been trying to diversify its economy where it wants to reduce its dependence on oil and has unleashed infrastructure projects where it's building these new mega cities and tourist destinations. And that is where China has been showing a lot of interest. And we might expect to see some deals, multi-billion dollar deals probably, signed as far as those projects go.
Our Middle East business correspondent, Samir Hashmi, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Nice speaking to you, Will.
Let's head to Argentina now, where the former president and current vice president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, has criticised the jail sentence passed down to her for corruption, calling the legal process a judicial mafia. The populist politician was handed a six-year prison sentence. The BBC's South America correspondent, Katie Watson, has more.
This sentencing is unprecedented. It's the first time ever that a vice president has been convicted of a crime while in office. A panel of judges found Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner guilty of fraud, but rejected a charge that she was running a criminal organisation. While the charges are serious, accused of a fraud scheme that embezzled $1 billion of public money, it's unlikely she'll go to jail anytime soon. Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, who's firmly denied the charges, will be able to appeal the conviction, and that could take years. In the meantime, she remains immune from arrest as long as she remains in a government role.
The BBC's Katie Watson. We're hearing a lot about the challenges facing the hospitality industry at the moment, with staff shortages, soaring energy bills and rising food and drink costs. But it's not all doom and gloom. Industry body UK Hospitality here in the UK says that many restaurants and cafes are finding creative ways to try and survive this winter, including shrinking menus, as the BBC's Noor Nanji has been finding out.
One salmon trio to share, one slow-cooked beef, one venison pie and one chips on order.
It's lunchtime here at the Green Room restaurant in Colchester, but the diners here are choosing from a menu that's more than halved in size over the past year. There's now only one pie and one burger on the menu. There used to be three of each.
Three options for the pies, three burger options, four options for the fish.
Claire Riddleston, the manager here, has been telling me about the changes they've made.
So we started off with over a year ago with a larger menu, which has now just shrunk down to the four starters, nine main courses, and the steaks. And it was an option that the owner decided to do, just keep the business open rather than have to close.
The restaurant has struggled to recruit since the pandemic, and that means there just aren't enough chefs to cook as many items as they used to.
Over a year ago, we had 5 full-time chefs and a couple of part-time chefs. Now we're down to just 3 full-time chefs. We've had to change things and adapt the menu to rising food costs so that they can just source ingredients to make the dishes with. And then we've now got the challenge of the energy prices going up. For us, we're just making changes to keep the business open. So many other businesses that you know of that are struggling as well. It does make us wonder how many of us will survive and be here this time next year.
The industry body, UK Hospitality, says cutting menu sizes is one of a number of creative ways in which restaurants and cafes are trying to survive the winter. Other measures may include reducing trading hours or even closing for days at a time. So what do diners here make of it all?
As long as the choice is good, I don't mind a shorter...
Yes, I agree. You can understand why they're doing it. And they can't make ends meet, so they have to put the menus up and they have to shorten them.
So it's a short, small menu, but it's tasty and sort of good value.
And then we're quite homemade.
And homemade. Then it's kind of, it could even be better sometimes.
More change for an industry that's had to adapt time and time again. In Colchester, England, I'm the BBC's Noor Nanji for Marketplace.
And finally, the video sharing app TikTok has released its list of the most played music on the app. The chart was calculated using the total number of times the songs were played in videos made by its users. Top 10 included the likes of Pharrell Williams, Willow Smith and Lizzo. Cue it being about time for us to leave you. Thanks very much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.